Stu, thank you very much. What I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce my discussion with a movie that we put together that's geared to the Latin market, particularly in Mexico. So that's where we've started, and then I'll explain what it's all about in a second. But let's put the movie on if we may. The world's population is 6.3 billion people. Right now, at least 20 to 25% of those people do not have access to clean drinking water.
5,000 children a day that are dying. I mean, you can't think of a more severe problem.
2 billion or more people lack access to safe drinking water.
The number one public health issue in the world. More people die of waterborne diseases than all communicable diseases, HIV, all of them combined.
And there's issues on all sides of it, the water delivery and the essence of the water that's undrinkable in the first place.
So you can't have a solution of a big water plant. You have to have the last mile of water. You have to have point-of-use solutions where in your home you can safeguard your family by having clean water.
I need clean water.
I want clean water for my country.
Yo necesito agua limpia. We all need clean water.
This is real, man. We've got to get up off our butts and do something.
The Water Initiative is a healthy, safe, and economical solution.
What we're about is building a network of people around the world, the top scientists, the top businessmen, and the top humanitarians, and bringing about a total committed effort, a focused effort to attack this and to do less talk about it and really put it into action.
From our point of view, the only way that can be done is through an enterprise-based approach.
We're employing what's called the base of the pyramid protocol.
This is an organized business process to build a set of community partners in actually co-creating the business.
You have to go to each place. Each one has a whole separate situation with every element. You've got to go to know.
We went to Mexico first. Mexico has very high levels of arsenic.
The Mexican Water Commission suggested to us that we start here because they said, you know, we've got an arsenic problem. We really don't know how to deal with it.
So as an example, in Mexico, the BOP team was giving the technology team information about what mattered to them. And by working with them and also knowing technically exactly what's in the water, by doing water testing, we were able to very quickly put a solution together.
Uno, a pesar de que sabe que tiene arsénico, se lo sigue tomando porque es una necesidad que tiene que cubrir, de tomar agua.
Arsenic causes a variety of diseases, including diabetes, type 2, and cancer.
The reason municipalities continue to supply water with arsenic is because there is no economical way to remove it in volume.
So the solution in Torreón, where arsenic is a severe problem, incorporates a series of filters to address that.
The water goes through our arsenic removal housing. This also provides a sediment filtration, and it also removes the chlorine from the water, making it taste better. The water goes through this tube into a pathogen removal filter, and this ensures that there are no bacteria or viruses.
What we do at TWI is treat it right after it comes into your home, before you use it for cooking and drinking, and it is the lowest cost alternative to providing safe, healthy water.
The system or the treatment that you are offering, pues la norma baja.
Frankly, I think we hit a home run. Our arsenic solution is real.
The future of TWI.
to other BOP communities, both adjacent to the ones you start in, but then other parts of the world as well.
Our contribution really is the jobs, the entrepreneurship we're creating. We are bringing investment, we're bringing wealth into the community, and we're serving the needs of the world.
For them, it's not just to be part of a business or help to design something. It's deeper. It's like an opportunity to change their lives.
We are an integrator of systems, and we're a co-creator from the consumer level.
I think we have to mix soul and science together and try love instead of fear. We're dealing with each other, and we have to deal with the elements in one of the most valuable commodities on this planet, which is water.
I need clean water.
I need clean water.
Yo necesito agua limpia.
We all need clean water.
Let's not just talk. Let's put it into action.
Thank you.
Please. Basically, that's the introduction of what we're doing. We've been in process now for about 3 years to set this up, and we have now products, some unique products for world rollout. But let me give you a context of where we were coming from when we first began. Let me get this. Here we go. First of all, let's talk about the water business. Let's talk about the business opportunity. We are a business, and there are very good reasons why we're a business for sustainability, et cetera. The water business is larger than the pharmaceutical business. It's a huge business, and we're talking about $200 billion in bottled water and water equipment alone and growing. So there's a huge opportunity, and the one thing we saw that we loved is that it's highly fragmented, so therefore it's a high opportunity situation for entrepreneurs such as what we are. Okay? Then we have the competition is really bottled water, and bottled water business is really under severe attack. Why? The plastic issue, the dumping issue, the fact that it costs, you know, some 3 liters to create 1 liter of water. All the issues of bottled water, and we all know that regulatory bodies are now talking about why and how they want to have restrictions on bottled water, okay? And we know that the market is definitely contracting. In the last year, the bottled water market in the United States contracted by 6%, and pricing is down about 30%. The number two bottled water consumer in the world, Mexico. They just don't trust the water, okay? So what the environment is a very good business environment for us and affords great opportunities for us. All right? Now, why point of use? Why point of drinking? I like to call it point of drinking because some people don't understand what point of use means. And really, what our expression is we're sort of the last mile of water. The closer to your lips you can clean the water, the more effective you will be. The fact of the matter is that we have an incredible leaking system all over the world. It's incredibly mismanaged and incredibly inefficient. Our latest board member, Hugh Fleming, who's the director of water for Hatch Engineering, and you guys know it up here in Canada, he said to me, the world's coming to POU, Kevin. I said, tell me more about it. He says, I'm now bidding on a project in Saudi Arabia to do 10 desal plants. He says, I want to just do 5 because all their pipes are leaking. So I keep telling them, you're feeding into a system that's all leaking, okay? And in developing countries, some studies in Russia show that 70% of the water that's being treated and sent out to the homes is leaking out of the pipes. When you have leaking pipes out, as many of you know in developing countries, often the water pipes runs right next to the sanitation pipe. So what's leaking in is just as important in some cases as what's leaking out. Okay? So I use this chart to help express the point, and I think it's somewhat helpful. Of 100 liters that goes into a water treatment plant, depending on whether you have a desal plant or a membrane plant, anywhere from 30 to 50 liters go out with discharge. And that discharge is not good. In a desal plant, it's brine, what have you, okay? So say we have 60 liters left or 70 liters left. 50% of that leaks out in the pipes. Chicago just did a study, 63%. But 50% is what we'll call it as the average. When you get to your home, therefore, you have 35 liters left. Of the 35 liters, 90% of it is using your washing machine, your toilet, your shower. Okay? Therefore, all studies I've seen, we did a study in Mexico and it's less than 1%. Less than 2% of the water that's treated is actually used for drinking and cooking. Yet 80% of the cost of that water treatment plant is to make the water drinkable. There's something wrong with that. And there's something there where there's a business opportunity. Now, how do we convert a business opportunity into a viable business? Enter Stu Hart, the base of the pyramid protocol. Okay, what are our challenges? A lot of you may not know how bad arsenic is around the world. We call it the three monsters of water are pathogens, which of course are your bacteria and viruses, arsenic, and fluoride. Why do I say arsenic? If you take in, on average, 50 parts per billion of arsenic over an extended period of time, over 10 years, your chances of contracting cancer are 50 times more than anything else you can ingest. It is the number one carcinogenic in the world. And I'm here to tell you, over the next 5 years, you will see more studies on arsenic in water than probably anything else. I was on with a senior official in the U.S. government, and official in the U.S. government in the last 2 weeks, and I asked her, I said, what's your worst concern? What is your biggest worry about the water supply in the United States? And I was quite surprised. I expected it to be top five. She said, arsenic. They're doing a 50-site study. It is the hit. Now, what is arsenic? Arsenic is a naturally occurring substance in the Earth's crust. It does come about from industrial waste as well. However, when you have watershed, you have surface water issues with arsenic. When you have the crust being disrupted, whether it's from mining, mountain areas, etc., you have groundwater concentration. As the aquifers go down and the bedrock comes closer, you have higher concentrations of both arsenic and fluoride. And a big problem. Can you boil out arsenic? No. Arsenic is very difficult to take out. The traditional way of taking out arsenic is reverse osmosis. Highly inefficient, high cost, and not the right solution for the poor people or middle class people in the world. So we have a challenge. How are we going to solve that problem? Okay. We'll just see where we go. Okay, back. I'm going forward. Sorry. All right. We know that the systems are inefficient. We know that point of drinking is an attractive alternative. Now, what are our barriers? What's the history of point of drinking, point of use? Why is there sort of an institutional bias against it? And it's a good one. Why? Because traditionally, NGOs, well-meaning, well-intentioned, very good people, would come in with some sort of filter system, some sort of remedy. The problem with NGOs, by definition, is they have a limited term in their community. They have a limited budget. When the budget's over, they have to leave the community and move on to a very good project someplace else. So what happens all the time is abandonment. Second of all, there's no one in the community to maintain the systems. How many times have we seen water filter systems that have literally been installed 7 years ago and they still think they're working, when in fact for the last 5 years they were depending on it being clean water, when in fact it's really worse water and they're drinking more of it? Okay, so what are we? We are a group of business people and humanitarians who co-create, utilizing the base of the pyramid protocol, the people's design. We co-create comprehensive water solutions, not dealing with one issue, the complete community issue. And then what we do, which is really the crux of it, is we distribute our product through the people themselves in a distribution model that they design for us using the base of the pyramid protocol. They're the geniuses. We're the implementers. That's what it's all about. Okay. To do this, my background is I'm a serial entrepreneur. Forgive me that word. I founded about a dozen companies. You may know about Sobe Beverages. I founded Sobe about many years ago. But I also founded KX Industries. And we created the first pure filter, end of tap. We created the first Brita filter, end of tap. And my learnings from Sobe and KX was basically that the world is not servicing the poor and the middle class, and we need to have an alternative to bottled water, which is not the solution. And so what I said is that we need to organize literally an Apollo project, if you give the American term, but we're not all Americans. We did not want to be an all-American group at all. That would not be where we're at. We're a global group. So I brought in my dear friend Ratan Tata from India, fellow trustee at Cornell. He became our biggest backer. I brought in Phil Yeo from Singapore. Stature in Asia, almost the same. He built Singapore with the Economic Development Board. We brought in people who had passion. Chris Sinclair, former chairman of Pepsi International, et cetera, head of material sciences at MIT. Let's bring in the most talented, but more importantly, the most passionate. And I'll tell you, before each one of our meetings, we say a prayer. We have a minister as our partner, okay? Because we really believe ourselves to be pro bono entrepreneurs. We believe in the common good. We do believe in business, and we do believe that business in combination with the common good can be successful. With the help of spirituality, we'll just leave it at that. But it's very important to the common passion of our company. So basically, Quincy is our inspirational leader, and he's been very much involved. He's invested in our company, et cetera, and he's really important to what we're doing because of his world reach. Quincy is not a music icon. He's a world icon, as you well know. And he opens a lot of doors for us, and that's very important to our hope to grow this around the world. Okay? Singapore government is helping us to establish a research laboratory there. They want to become the water research capital of the world. So we've done a lot of work with the leaders of Singapore, particularly at NTU. You're probably familiar with Singapore University and NTU. NTU is sort of the Cornell MIT of Singapore and very, very advanced. And so the people in material sciences and sensors are working with us from Singapore. This is a global movement because we have a global problem. Arsenic, fluoride. Fluoride creates bone malformations, mottled teeth in high percentages of population where you have fluoride. Everybody says, well, I use it for cavities in my teeth. It can't be bad for you. It's really bad in excess amounts and unfortunately causes bone malformations. Big problems in China and some parts of India and all over the world. All over the world. And the lower the water level goes, which you know is occurring all over the world, the more these issues become much more pronounced and affecting not just adults, but particularly children. There's all sorts of studies that children that intake arsenic contract lung cancer and all sorts of cancers much faster because of that. So it's really a children issue. And that's why we keep, you know, somebody said yesterday, you know, every 15 seconds a child's dying, so we're in a hurry. And our team works 24/7. We work 7 days a week. You can ask my wife. We work 7 days a week. And literally, we're on the phone last night till 12:30 at night. I was hearing the latest results from Mexico, et cetera. This is a passionate, totally committed team. We don't meet once a month. We meet several times a day, the whole team. And the board, I talk to them once a week. Why arsenic and fluoride? I just explained it to you. About 10 to 15% of the population in Mexico. We believe Mexico is a microcosm of the world. We believe it's an excellent place to study pathogens, arsenic, and fluoride, and build platform technologies to roll out around the world. And we have tremendous cooperation from the National Water Commission because we went top-down as well as bottom-up. We went to the First Lady of Mexico, and she set us up with the head of the National Water Commission, who's going to be in New York tomorrow. He said, let's go to lunch. It's a very close relationship that we have with the people in Mexico, and we're very pleased to be there. Now lots of countries want us to come, et cetera, but we want to do it right in Mexico. We want to perfect this model, this business social model in Mexico. We want to walk to run, okay? And so they're literally talking. Now here's our BOP approach in detail. We bought a shack. We didn't buy it. We rented it. Then we cleaned it up. We painted it. We created a laboratory. We created a classroom. We used BOP protocol. We deep dived. Deep dialogue, right, Stu? Okay? We stayed in their homes. We didn't just stay in our offices. We stayed in their homes. We stayed there for months. How do you want to solve your problem? What can we do to truly affect a solution in your community? You represent people all over the world. We want you to help us. So they said, you know, we want to. Here's what we want to do. We want to do a distribution system of women selling to women, like selling to like. We want a direct selling system. We want to buy the product. Then we want to show it in healthy dialogue groups like Tupperware parties. Sorry. And then we want to maintain it. And we want an economic incentive each stage of the way. And let me tell you, they are pretty good negotiators. Literally, we went through some pretty stiff negotiating yesterday to raise some of our rates. That's why I was on the phone last night until about 12:30. Okay? That's okay. That's cool. That's really cool because they're passionate. All right? But most of all, they created the product themselves. Now, parallel with that, we had our laboratory in front of them. We wanted to show them how we're taking out the arsenic in the water. And then we were sending samples up to MIT and Cornell. And we have some of the finest scientists in the world. Most of them are ex-Bell Labs people. And as Gene Fitzgerald said, who was asked to be head of material sciences at MIT, he said, look, we made all this money for Intel and HP over the last 10, 15 years. It's time we work on water. It's time we work on the number one public health issue in the world. I'm really proud of our tech team. It is the best in the world as far as I'm concerned in point of use. And I think it's certainly one of the best, even objectively speaking. Okay? So what do? We get into the community. We live with them. We put our jeans on. We put our sneakers on. And we hug all the time. And we embrace. As one of the ladies said, you know, when you first came, my husband didn't want me to go to the meetings. You were gringos. You'll leave. You won't stick around. Now you're part of our family. Now you come to Sunday dinner. We believe in you. We trust you. Okay? You really mean it. You really love us, and we love you. That's really very special. There's not a trip that I go down here, and I'm sorry, that I don't cry a little bit because of the tremendous emotions that these people show to us about what's happening. And now we're into other cities in Mexico, but we engage everybody. This is embedded into the community, Stu. We engage the religious leaders, the civic leaders. We go to the schools. We have the teachers. Our average rate of sales of units to teachers is 80%. Because the price point is exactly the same as if they had to go to a center square, fill a used garaphone, and carry back a 50-pound garaphone back to their house. Same cost, and they have a better state of the technology than 99% of Americans. They have a hot and cold switch, and they have clean water, and it cleans all the pathogens, all that chlorine, that bad-tasting chlorine, and all the arsenic. So our price point had to be competitive. It couldn't be just a high-state technology and not have a good high price point. So now we're doing some juices. I'm going to move a little quickly before I run out of time. We're creating an army of micro-entrepreneurs. That's why Peru wants us so badly now. And I just met with the assistant to President of Colombia. They want us to come because it's not just technology. Ignea Fund said we want to help you and we want to invest in you, not because of your technology, because it's a product that they love, and because you're creating jobs. You're creating micro-entrepreneurs, which is, of course, what Grameen has put into perfection, and we're trying to learn a lot from everybody. Okay? And it's got to be like-to-like. You got to have peers-to-peer selling. We've learned that. So it's continuous sales growth. By the way, we said, do you want it under the sink? Do you want it above your roof? Do you want it next to a cistern? They said, no. No, we want to have it. We want to have it in our living room. This is a color TV set. We're so proud. We have high tech in our house. We want to have a sticker outside of our house saying, this house serves clean water. We're proud. We want our children proud of us, how much we care about them. Okay? So we want to create. So these are the early stages, the gamma, et cetera. I'm going to roll a little fast before. That's our product. It's out on the table, but it's about this high. And it is state-of-the-art looking. Pretty cool looking, okay? I don't necessarily want you to agree, but it's not bad, all right? And it's got a hot and cold button. You got a hot and cold button in your house? A lot of you do, but I bet you paid a lot more than they pay. They pay about $3 a week for this, okay? And that's exactly what they pay for those garaphones, all right? So they're happy people, and they designed it. There's Ophelia, there's Amanda. They designed it, Salvador, okay? They designed this. So this is classic co-creation. This is classic base of the pyramid protocol. It's classic bottom-up, creating platform technologies in a state of situation that is similar to other parts of the world. Is the Bangladesh situation more severe in arsenic? Absolutely. Have we tested it in Bangladesh situation? Yes. Would we have to go to Bangladesh to be sure it works there? Absolutely. No shoe fits all feet. That's why we made it a modular system. We're going to San Luis Potosí. They have excess fluoride. We take out our arsenic removal system, and we put in the fluoride system. Everything's modular. Everything is platform technology. Okay? And we aligned it with fruit juices. They love fruit juices in Mexico. They drink more beverages than we do in Canada and the United States. And there's our poster child, Monse, Letty's daughter. Okay? And there's our first sale, Coco and Gina and Juan. That's our first customer, Eva. Okay? And now we've sold hundreds of units. But this is a comprehensive system, certified by Mexico. It takes out all the variants that you're talking about in water. So what we are really is the first affordable home comprehensive system to not only take out the other pathogens and other chlorine, but also to take out arsenic. And we're building a team that roll out around the world. So basically, we're very pleased with this. And we like them, and they like us. You know, the old thing about, Mr. Kevin, take a cutting cake, but put your face a little close to it. Yeah, I knew where that was coming from. That, you see that big, tall guy in the back? That's Stu Hart. Yeah, he's got the most cake on his face. But he's eating it. He's enjoying it. So we had a ball. But that's the way we feel about each other. And that's what the base of the pyramid, we trust each other. Most of all, it's affordable, it's convenient, it's effective, and it's trusted. Okay? They created it. So what's ahead? Hopefully thousands of micro-entrepreneurs, and hopefully we'll be a trusted leader in the world in the last mile of water. A huge opportunity for business, but most importantly, a huge opportunity to give these people something they value in their lives and to change their lives. Thank you.